And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear here and declare your independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, and from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nast, Freedoms of Phoenix, .com. Okay, we got a Narco Poco coming up again here in a couple months. We're going to, go down. I need to start dieting, lifting, and stop with the sugar cookies, man. I mean, that's just, and then we go be all babish on the beach and, kind of party. Because the one thing about a Narco Poco, I tell you, that was unique is that there were a lot of people, a few hundred people there. You had an average age much younger than you usually see at a lot of different libertarian, fiesta doing kind of events. I would say it was in, high 30s, 40s. I mean, but there were a lot of young people in their 20s and 30s and so on. So I'm going, okay. And the women to men ratio was much higher than I'd ever seen. Lots of babes out in the bikinis out. And, we got to see them in the conference and on the beach. And I'm going, damn, this was a totally different thing. Why? I don't know. We're going to ask Jeff Berwick why. Why, Jeff? What was the demographic there? How'd that come up?
Well, I heard that a lot of the women showed up because they heard you were speaking, Ernie. So,
That's it. They want to get a glimmer of the body Ernie. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, maybe not. Last time before it was at the Copacabana. I had to listen to that damn song every time I got on the elevator. So where's it? What's the hotel it's going to be at now?
Yeah, that's why we changed. That elevator music was too much. So we changed to a place called the Grand Hotel, which is actually about three times better. It's a much better hotel. It's unbelievably better. And the amazing thing is it's about the same price per room as the Copacabana was last year. So we're really excited about it. We're going to have the top conference room in the hotel, which is on, I think, around the 20th floor, which has all windows all around, a view of the bay. So it's going to be a much more luxurious sort of a hotel and without the crappy Copacabana muzak in the elevator, which will be nice.
The one thing that I'm interested in is the food. I mean, the Copacabana, we all had a great time, just went in the street and whatever, but the food wasn't that great, and I'm going, damn, but I tell you what, none of that had any impact on the enjoyment that the people had with just everybody that was just hanging. There was plenty to do, and of course you rocked it out. You were like, yeah, there's this conference thing. You guys have fun. I'm having fun. It's Acapulco. So this is, do you have an MC? Are you going to tap on the author that did it last time?
We still haven't actually decided on MCs. We're still putting together the speakers, and actually every day we've been adding people recently. So it'll probably come together, though. We'll be a lot more organized than last year, as you pointed out. When I first started it, that was the first one last year, and I didn't know if anyone would even come. I had no idea. And all within the last couple of months, most of the people who came signed up and actually sold out because we could only hold 300 people total in that room that we had. So we weren't really all that prepared, and a lot of great people pulled together to pull off the conference, but it was all quite voluntary, a lot of volunteers and stuff like that. So this year we're a lot more prepared. We know there's going to be a lot of people coming. We've booked a better hotel. We've already checked out. The hotel has really good internet. The food's much better at the hotel. As far as MCs, we're not sure, but we have so many to choose from, so many great people. And of course, we just announced in the last month that Larkin Rose is going to be speaking. Walter Block.
Score, Larkin, hell, I'll go for that. Mark Victor, you know, hopefully he can make it.
He's making it for sure.
Okay, well, no, I know, I talked to him. He's like, yep, going, unless what? Unless some judge says I can't, gotta, you know, whatever. He's, you know, criminal defense attorney, but yeah, no, he definitely wants to go. I'm looking forward to hanging with Mark and Tracy, your good friends, Adana and I. And then, so you said Walter Block, Larkin Rose, you know, hell, it's worth the trip right there. You know?
Yeah, and then there's Adam Kokesh, Luke Radowski, Roger Veer, the Bitcoin Jesus. A really interesting guy, you might know him, Ernie, Barry Cooper of the Never Get Busted crew. Yeah. I really like his stuff. I don't know if you know about him.
Yeah, no, that'd be interesting. Yeah, wasn't he a narc cop at one time? And then he's like, you know, he punks him, you know, and videotapes him being stupid. I mean, you know, so yeah, he was a big rage there years ago. It'd be interesting to see what he's been doing.
Yeah, he's been in all sorts of mainstream media. He was an ex-narc cop, and one day he tried marijuana, the same thing that he had been busting families for years and breaking into their houses and ruining families. And he said, wow, this is what we're fighting against. So he quit, and he started setting up cops in the U.S. on things to bust their corruption. And then he was thrown in jail numerous times and targeted because of that. So he had to flee the U.S. He fled to Venezuela as a refugee. He's now living in Mexico. So very interesting story. And now he helps people. He's an expert witness because of his work as a drug cop. And he gets a lot of people who are on victimless crimes, possession of plants charges. He gets many of them off.
You know, the one thing for people kind of understand, he would create, you go to a local hydroponics or something. He'd get some grow lights and he'd, you know, put them in a rent a house. It'd be totally empty. And the only thing that was in there was a Christmas tree in the middle of the living room. Okay. So when the man comes in, they bust in, they go, hut, 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 kill the dog. Where's the dog? I mean, you know, as they come in, there'd all just be that Christmas tree and you go, you're being filmed. Gotcha. You know, kind of. So they did not like that none too much, you know, and all this stuff. And what was the evidence that they used and how and why over this overwhelming force? And why did they do it that way? And how come they, I mean, it's just, you know, just because he knows it's typical. They're going to bring in the battering ram of the MRAP of, you know, mow down the front of your house because they can't. You know, so this is the kind of stuff that he really outed for years there. This is before the Levolution, I think. I mean, this is like in the mid-2000s and such, before Cop Block and everything. And then he started going, you know, postal. Well, that's good. That'd be great to get caught up on that. Where are some of the others you got?
We also have Zen Gardner, who I really like. Max Egan, I don't know if you're familiar with him. I think he has a show called Escape the Matrix or something like that. And we just booked Ken O'Keefe. I don't know if you know who that is.
No, tell me. Sounds familiar, but I don't know.
He's an amazing speaker. He gets on mainstream media, and he's very anti-government, anti-Western government. He points out a lot of truth on mainstream media. He's an amazing speaker. We also have Vit Jadlika, the president of Liberland, coming.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. That'll be... They got a president? Anyway, whatever. But the... you know, somebody, I, whatever. I go, no, nobody has to be, but you know, we'll talk about it. You'll anarchy him up, man. A narcopoco. All right. So you got some more?
Oh, well, there's tons of people I could go on and on. Dana Martin's coming back with her unschooling. I believe Brett Vaynott of the
School Sucks podcast.
He's going to be doing a thing as well with Dana Martin on unschooling, homeschooling, peaceful parenting, things like that. So yeah, there's tons of stuff going on.
Yeah, you know, one thing I might talk about, I tell you, we have, you know, I'll do a sequel to, you know, last time of Optimistic, whatever, but I tell you, it's a Stop Wars project. Star Wars goes out this weekend. We've done hundreds of signs that says Stop Wars, home educate. And it's just, they're already all a dozen from Maine to Hawaii. And James Bad did a lot of the cards. We got, it's a campaign. Hadn't even started yet. We already got stormtroopers holding signs. They're getting them in line. I mean, it's just, what do I want to accomplish? I mean, Jeff Berwick, you know, the Narcopoco, it definitely demonstrated there's a market for leave me aloneism internationally. And they go down there and just, oh yeah, and there's a beach. Did I forget the beach? In Acapulco! Pricing is good. Check it out.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty.
Yeah, go ahead and check this. I want you to, you know, look this up. Just on a search engine, just put Stop Wars Home Educate, and it'll probably come up. And I'm just now creating the we had to get the signs produced and start making all the stuff and doing whatever. So we'll get that the page done, the landing page, today, because I've been actually, like, you know, doing the activist part. But these signs are just, I'm really, we're going to hit them on all fronts. You know, the reason we keep having these wars is because we don't know why we keep having these wars, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, this is cool. I like it.
So there's, it's kind of the way we did the Lovolution. I took and you create this sign campaign, and we just sent a bunch of our libertarian activists around the country, and it kind of sparked it. Well, now we have really good infrastructure. We're going through listings of the landing page of, you know, I got a 12-year-old that goes there, or a 12-year-old's parents. What kind of links do you put on there? You know, I mean, we got things like Brett Vinat. We work with, you know, Tragedy and Hope, Richard Grove, and Brett Vinat. They'll be, of course, on their School Sucks podcast and so on. We'll have our newspaper and e-zine and see what else. We'll have Mises Institute. I think we'll do that. And then, but, you know, like, what else? You know, maybe Future Freedom Foundation, Philosophy of Liberty video, Larkin Rose's stuff. We got one gentleman, it was Professor CJ's Dangerous History podcast that James Badd suggested. You know, you got something in mind? What do you think might go, should go there?
I don't know off the top of my head. That sounds pretty good.
It's something to think about. My problem is, I'll tell you, Jeff, the one concern that I have. Somebody sent me Hour of Coding series I did with my granddaughter. She's six. Loves it. Khan Academy mm-hmm. now is all, you know, entwined with Bill Gates. And I'm going, you know what this is? It's like Facebook, Amazon, Google, YouTube, everything that you search do. And now they're getting in my kid's brain and how fast they learn, what they learn, what they're learning. And now it's a part of the you know, metric of they got and I rule you. And I'm, you know, and it's an individual account of I get points and it's like a video game of I watched whatever. And I'm just not real comfortable with my grandkids being on Bill Gates' list. You know what I mean? They map mm-hmm. their brain. It's like might as well Ben Zuckerberg. So I'm going, so server-based education programs I'm not really comfortable with. But because of, you know, the distributed, decentralized internet, there is a new stuff. We had a guy on, you know, an update on this MadeSafe program. I'm going, if I can get the same services and use it like Airbit's Bitcoin wallet to where they don't know who I am. I get the same access to the services and use. It's all encrypted and they don't know who I am. Then I'm feeling better about that. I don't want to be the product. You know, it's sure as hell not my grandchildren. So start thinking about that. You come up with this is going to be a long-term project. Defending Archimedes is defending the, you know, Generation Next genius thing. And I'm just going, this is something I've been sitting on for over 4 years. I've been sitting back waiting for this opportunity. I went to the Mises Circle they had here in Phoenix a few weeks ago, and they really started emphasizing, yeah, the education part of this. And I'm going, done. I already got an idea. Rock and roll. Here we go. So that's why we're doing it. All right. When we come back, you can go and give us some update on what's happening in Acapulco and the Mexican government. Are we expatriating to Acapulco? You know, or are we just going there for a party? All right. We'll be back in a few seconds.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Carlos Santana Christmas. You know, that's one thing. How is season Christmas out, you know, on the beach in Acapulco? You know, you getting some Christmas there in your shorts, man? What's up?
Sorry, you're kind of a little low, your volume at the start. Were you asking me how Christmas is here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're on the beach in your shorts or your shirt off in a, you know, Santa hat. I mean, you know, how's it celebrated there?
Well, it's massively celebrated here. It's pretty much celebrated from, it's been started about a week ago until after January, really. People take off the whole month in Mexico for Christmas. It's a very Catholic sort of culture here. They have parades. The parades are kind of interesting. A Christmas parade will have like Batman and Spider-Man and all kinds of floats in it. But yeah, it's definitely a big deal here in Mexico, but it's all very relaxed as well. It's like a big party for the whole month, as you would expect in Mexico, especially here in southern Mexico on the beach.
Is it a commercialized thing? Is it, you know, sponsored by, you know, Kmart, or is it, you know, more family oriented? Is it a municipal kind of government set and put the lights up kind of deal? Is it more organic? What's it like?
Everything here is more organic. For example, on New Year's Eve, there's a massive fireworks show that goes off for about 20 minutes, but it's all just private people with fireworks and some, every restaurant, every bar has its own fireworks and they just fire them off. It's actual chaos. But it's quite beautiful. It's a sort of an organized chaos. So it's very similar for Christmas, all those things. Mexico in general is much, much less sort of corporate than the U.S. A lot of things just happen organically here. There's just a lot of parties, a lot of, like, it's really pretty much from December 10th until after January 10th or so, you can't get anything done here if you want to do any sort of business. No one's in the office. Everyone's sort of just at parties or with their families down here. It's definitely a big, it's pretty typical. I laugh about Acapulco. It seems like it's always on vacation here. Every weekend is a long weekend, it seems like. Easter is a week long, actually 2 weeks. Christmas is a month. They take the 2 months off in summer, just like in the U.S. for when the kids are out of their public indoctrination camps. And so it's quite a very relaxed sort of culture.
Well, that's one thing that's of interest to me. You had a successful Anarcapoco this last year. And then I'm wondering, you had a lot of people. There weren't a lot of locals. And I'm wondering, have you made any inroads in the locals, English-speaking Mexican businessmen and so on? They participate and want to go. You got some interest from that point of the compass?
Well, interestingly enough, I just moved into a new house here in Acapulco, and we met our neighbor, and she knew who I was, and she said, I'm an anarchist too. So that was interesting. She said, I want to go to Acapulco, and so that was interesting. We also have a number of the Mexican Bitcoin community came last year. They'll be coming again this year. Jose Rodriguez is one. So there is a few sort of Mexicans. We actually had a few more than that come last year. I think we'll have more this year as well. It's getting quite well known in Mexico, in Acapulco, this conference already. Even the governor knows about it. I know the governor through friends, and I was thinking about inviting him, but I thought that wouldn't work to invite the governor. But actually, he's quite open to free market ideas. I'm trying to get him the book, The Market for Liberty, which has been translated into Spanish. And I've been telling him, I told him a while ago, I said, you got to legalize all drugs. So that'll end all this cartel problem and all that. And of course, you know, most of the government people, they kind of laugh when you say that, because they're basically working with the cartels. The governments and the cartels here are basically the same thing. And I said, listen, they're already legalizing marijuana all over the world, including the U.S. You're going to lose that entire market if you don't act soon. And they didn't listen to me. That was like a year ago. And now just this week, I believe, Mexico just legalized marijuana, just gave out its first permit to be able to grow your own marijuana. So it is changing, and there's lots of things changing down here for sure.
You know, there was one thing. We interviewed some people that were, it was called No Más Sangre or something, No More Blood. It was a mom. You know, it's like, your mother's against drunk driving, you know, mad thing. But it was I'm mad against the drug war. And it was a big movement, you know, years, you know, for the past few years, making a big deal out of, look, this drug war is killing us. So is that part of that? I mean, is it the attitudes changed?
Yeah, you can definitely see that there's changes. I think it's they've been forced to change now because the rest of the world is all legalizing or decriminalizing marijuana at the very least, and in many places other plants as well, like cocaine. And so I told them a while ago, I said, you can make Acapulco one of the biggest sort of places for all these companies to come and start up. But of course, they didn't really listen. They're starting to listen now. But this is going, we're already already seeing drugs being legalized all over the world. Finally, this has been the end. We're getting close to the end of this heinous, more than 40-year war on people, which has killed, I think it'd be pretty safe to say millions in the 40-year period when you include the Afghanistan poppy field sort of wars, when you include all the deaths all around the world from all these things, the amount of people, the amount of families that have been ruined, it's got to be in the millions. Just a father gets found one day with a plant in his pocket because he wanted to relax after working for 12 hours to pay his taxes and gets put in jail, and then he can't get a job again, and then the family breaks up, then the kids don't have a good family or a father around, and then they get into all kinds of crap. You know, this thing is just heinous, and thankfully it looks like it's ending. And it's interesting that one of our friends, Joby Weeks, may have started it off, because he's actually going to be coming to Narcopoco again this year, and he was one of the first people to start to petition for decriminalization of marijuana in Colorado and got that passed. And after that got passed, it started getting passed all over the world and in many different states in the U.S. So it's kind of interesting. Just, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm just one person, I can't change anything. Well, Joby may have sped up the death of the drug war by doing that petition in Colorado a few years ago.
Yeah, it's, was it Breckenridge, a small ski community in the Rockies? He just, you know, said, you know what, during mud season in the summer, he goes, I'll just stand here at the library, get it on the ballot, it wins, and then it goes Colorado, Washington, and the planet. And Joby's like, you know what, I think I'm going to invest in marijuana growing, man. So this, it's good to, you know, see that an individual can have a difference. And freaking Joby is manic about it, man. The guy is a doinger jumping up and down. He's a good spokesperson for this kind of stuff. You know, the one other thing, Narcopoco, is I was kind of surprised by the split in gender and how many young people were there, and the fact that it was kind of, you know, people made the trip to come down there to be, not necessarily to move to Acapulco or even Mexico. It was just kind of visit with people that are just, man, we're getting out of Nazi Germany. Where do we go? You know, and I'm just, you know, what do you think the demographic of philosophy that was there? What did you, the feel from last time, what are you expecting this year?
I expect similar, but a lot bigger this year. Last year, I was surprised as well. I had no idea. There was one guy hitchhiked here. One guy rode his bike here, I believe. One person, well, actually many people drove down, one from Boston. And I think you were here or you were around when, after the entire trip, which took, you know, a week of driving, their van burst into flames right in front of the hotel. So that was interesting. But as far as the demographic, as far as people being younger, there's definitely a movement of younger libertarians and anarchists out there. You could see
radio
with the Students
the
for Freedom. That's just massive. It's just growing. So there's a new demographic now. And, you know, you're sort of older. You're a grandfather. So you've sort of seen that for decades now. But I think you've probably noticed as well, there's this sort of newer generation coming up that's totally on board with all these things that we're saying. And they're full of energy, as you would expect for younger people. And they get really excited about these things.
You know, we just went in break, but one of the main things that I have noticed and expected and wanted and, you know, encouraged with the, you know, Levolution, all the activism, all that kind of stuff, was that to be inoculated against the BS, the next wave of we had a GOP debate party last night, which is just everybody throwing popcorn at the screen. But I mean, it's just so I can talk, whatever, whoever wants to, you know. It's amazing the people that show up, and it's really just a, you know, hang out, yell at the screen, bring their friends and drink beer and, you know, eat chili or something. But the my whole thing was, is if I can inoculate Generation Next from them not just, you know, getting sucked into the mandatory youth indoctrination camp thing, and they're all of a sudden now prepared with all this onslaught of we're going to go to war kind of thing, and they know, you know, the truth, or at least have access to where to go click on a video or a something, have access to that. Because when 07 we started the Levolution, it was amazing to me how many, and it really probably not to me as much as other people, how many people felt that they got saved, they got awakened, they got the truth. Okay, now they understand. It all made much more sense. So I'm going, all right, if you can do that and not have to fix them, you can inoculate them again. Go, yeah, well, of course I knew they were crap. I knew that at 10 years old, defending Archimedes, defending the geniuses of the future. That's the whole point of this thing. And it came to me about 4 or 5 years ago, and then talking to a lot of really smart people. Was there a program you needed? Was there a special camp for smart kids? Or was there something? No, we're smart. We're smarter than our teachers. Just leave us alone. Give me a beanbag chair and a light, man. I got a book. So I'm just going. This is, so you don't need to categorize them. You don't need their database. You don't need to indoctrinate them. You don't need anything. Just provide resources. They will select on their own. So I'm going, that's kind of, what the project is all about. Kind of direct them to things that, are, because you could see it in the Levolution. These types of kids, a lot of them were at Anarchapoco. They were the ones that are downloading Mises on their Kindle everywhere they went. They're the ones that was getting all into Austrian economics, because they got directed by Dr. Paul. That's why he's saying it on the, the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Austrian economics, Austrian economics, Austrian economics. So, this is, I see the infection, the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of the planet, for which there is no cure. And if I can help get through the bone, that's what I do. So this is, I'm going to do it again. So this is what this whole project is about, is, kind of inoculating. And when we come back, we'll be back in 40 seconds. I'm kind of interested in education in Mexico or south of the border, or what you're dealing with in the Hispanic community. And, are they open as they're starting to decriminalize marijuana and, making this way over? Are they abandoning the U.S.? And what are they embracing? A philosophy, or another they rule me central banking of we're going to Bitcoin, or what? I'm just, so help me out when we come back, all right?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Anarchist, atheist, Christian, whatever the, your persuasion, it doesn't matter. The point is that, it's a good time. It's a good season. It's a, there's a time for, spreading the love. So what do? We do some love postcards with, stop wars on the back. Oh, no, stop wars. Home educate, not homeschool. Home educate. That's one thing I want to ask Jeff Berwick there from the Dollar Vigilante, and he's promoting Anarchapoco 2016. It was very successful this last year in February, and it's nice. I mean, it was warmer in Phoenix. How hard? That's pretty hard sometimes. To do that on the beach. Beautiful beach, beautiful water, very comfortable. You got a lot of great things. And talking with people afterwards, they're inspired and they're, educated. And there's a lot of different activities. And Jeff always knew where the parties were. So we definitely got to go to the parties. The one thing that I want to get from you is the culture when it comes to education. And what is the indoctrination? Yeah, the mandatory youth indoctrination is what? I mean, what's the philosophy? And is it shifting one way or another? Tell me about Mexico.
Well, I can't speak totally for all Mexico. I haven't been to all of Mexico and seen it all and looked at all the education system or anything. But I can say that they definitely do have public schools here in Mexico. And in one way, they're terrible. they have this unionized teachers for the government schools. And they're almost all communist and quite violent, actually. They actually often go on strike and blow up things because they want more money, which is crazy. But that's not really indicative of what it's really like down here, though. Your average person, whether it's in school or out of school, is very anti-government. No one really likes government. There's definitely a lot more people in Mexico, exponentially more people in Mexico, who are more freedom-oriented than in the U.S., where so many people just love government in the U.S., which is, anti-freedom. And so You really have that. And so people, they do try to indoctrinate. They're trying to indoctrinate more and more. They actually just in Acapulco, just last week, they gave out free, I think, 30-inch flat-screen TVs to anyone who wanted one from the cable TV company. There was literally thousands of people lined up for it. And we figured that was because they want people to get onto TV so they can get their government television programming indoctrination, because it's not really working so much in the schools. But they're way more freedom oriented here in Mexico. So even if they do get indoctrinated somewhat, your average person is not pro-government at all, sort of anti-government sort of a place. And that's why there's a lot of people in the U.S. say, oh, Mexico looks dangerous. I heard cops got killed this week in Mexico. It's like, okay. And then they'll say, oh, I heard a mayor of a town got killed. It's like, well, yeah, people here don't like the government. They don't like cops. So it's a very different, as you saw when you're down here, different culture, different style. I know for example, property taxes here are quite cheap. You could have a multi-million dollar villa and pay $200 a year in property taxes. And people here get very angry about having to pay that. It's a very different sort of culture. And of course, here in Mexico, if you do have any sort of money, private schools are everywhere. There's three Montessori schools here in Acapulco alone. And, I send my kids to Montessori school here, and I actually tell them all the time they don't have to go if they don't want to go, but they love it. They're 9, 11 years old, and it's about $300 a month for the best Montessori school here in Acapulco, and it's pretty much the nicest school I've ever seen in my life. It's like paradise. It's all outdoors with all these massive trees, and they just play most of the day. That's how they learn, is through play. So it's a very different sort of a lifestyle here.
You know, one thing that when I was down there before, what happened was, in the news, I just checked, we're going to go, and I'm going, all right, well, can I get a direct flight? Because last time I had to go from Phoenix to L.A. to Mexico City to Acapulco. I'm like, seriously? Well, it was something the State Department here, oh, it's dangerous, and you can't, and straight from Phoenix to Acapulco or something. And I'm going, why? What's going on? Well, they're marching on and trying to burn down the presidential palace in Acapulco. Well, that told me everything I need to know right there. They got a presidential palace, you know. So I'm just going, and so we're down there, and the only time I saw police was they went down the main street there that goes around the bay. There was a Jeep, and they got like a 50 cal on top, and then at the airport they have their fouls or something like that. I probably saw a total of the guy, like a week we were there, I probably saw a total of six officers in only on a couple of days. So there wasn't like this overwhelming presence of we're going to rule you thing. But man, if you watch the news, there was a big giant to do of where the people are rising up. And I'm like, good.
They used to have direct flights from Phoenix to Acapulco, and they canceled those a few years ago because they said Acapulco is too dangerous. So you've been here. You know how dangerous it is.
I didn't feel threatened at all. And people are nice and everything. But I tell you, and on the beach, hey, man, you know, you can get half-hour massage for, you know, like $10 or something. I mean, it's like, yes, I am on the beach in the shade, pay the guy for the umbrella, have, you know, umbrella drinks brought to me, and, you know, I'm chill. That was awesome. You know, Don and I just sitting there, we're doing the Acapulco thing, and it didn't cost that much, but getting down there, I did check. It looked like there, you know, I just took a cursory look, but it looked like there was a direct flight Phoenix to Acapulco now. You know, I saw on there. Yeah, if I check, you know, I should take a look in the break. I'll do that.
I haven't heard about that. I usually pay attention because I'm interested in that, but I haven't heard they reinstated that. If they did, that'd be great. Right now, I think the only direct regular flight from the U.S. to Acapulco is through Houston. But for people who don't know, Mexico City is very close to Acapulco. It's about a 4 to 5 hour bus ride, and the buses here are amazingly nice. If you get the VIP ones, it's like a reclining leather lazy boy chair with entertainment system and drinks on the bus and everything. And it's about $30 to go from Mexico City to Acapulco, and there's also flights, of course, from Mexico City to Acapulco. It's only about a half hour flight.
All right, I got it in here. I do Phoenix to Acapulco flight from Phoenix, Arizona to all their ports, Acapulco, Aeromexico, kind of. Let me see, because that's, you know, that I would rather not have to, you know, go jumping around. Yeah, it says it, but it doesn't say whether it's a layover. Maybe I wasn't looking at the layover. Let's see. You know, yeah, we'll check it out. Because if I can, because that was a big thing in the 70s when I was a kid. You know, everybody, you know, wanted to go to Copacabana. I mean, you know, so it was Barry Manilow made Acapulco kind of thing. So you go there. Well, now Acapulco, it seems to me that it's really more the resort town for Central South America, Mexico, the Mexicans. It's not, you want to go, you know, get Americanized and, you know, everybody speaks English and is from Boston. You know, you go to Cabo or Mazatlan or something like that. So
Cancun.
Well, Mexico, I mean, Acapulco seems more, you're getting more of the tradition, you're getting a feel of Mexico.
Yeah, that's why I like it so much. It was about 20 or 30 years ago that the Mexican government decided that they wanted to move all the gringos out of Acapulco, and so they started up Cabo and Cancun. Those places didn't even exist 30 or 40 years ago. There was literally nothing there. And so they did Cabo for the west coast of the U.S. and Cancun for the east coast. And now, as you pointed out, Acapulco is more of an international or Latin American destination. There's not as nowhere near as many Americans or Canadians as there used to be, although there is still a fair amount. And there's a lot of Europeans who still come here. But the reason I like Acapulco is it's a very old city. It's actually the first city in the world that had a global trade. The first global trade started from Acapulco on Spanish galleons to Manila, Philippines, 400 or 500 years ago. And so they actually still have a lot of Asian culture here because of that, because of the mix. They still celebrate Chinese New Year here. So it's a very interesting culture, and that's why I like it. I don't really like Cancun or Cabo very much for the other reasons.
You know, I tell you the one thing, if you've been anywhere where there's Hispanic, you know, community, they celebrate everything. I mean, it's always a party. You know what? What's tomorrow? I don't know. Check the calendar. In some culture, you're going to have a party. Well, we're going to go down and party.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, I looked, and then you click into the flight. It goes, yeah, you get from Phoenix to Acapulco, but you got to go through L.A. to Mexico City and, you know, whatever.
There's a direct from Phoenix to Mexico City, I know. I just took it.
Well, I'm sure there is, but, you know, it might be $1 billion more, and how much are you willing to pay to not go to L.A.? Okay, let's take a look at the site, blah, blah, blah. They'll put up whatever. Okay, I will send you my buy-in. We'll talk about it after the show. Just hold on a second. We'll get all the details of how we're going to promote and stuff. let's see. Take them to this site. Okay, can you get me some artwork? You know, like the banner ads that we did last time for the site and everything?
Yep.
Okay, we'll go ahead and we'll work it out after this segment. We'll get it all taken care of at the end of the show. You got time for a few minutes to talk?
Yep.
Okay. We'll do it then. What do you think?
Actually, I don't. I forgot. I have an 11 o'clock interview. So are we going to be done before the end of the hour?
Yeah, about 2 minutes. We have it's like 57:50.
Okay, I'll have a couple minutes to talk then.
All right, we'll just do it real quick.
Okay.
All right, here we're back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
What kind of Christmas music you get? You're going to Acapulco in the season there. Do you hear? It's amazing. No matter how much I travel, I always hear English versions of everything. You know, the Mexican culture there, they are you starting to get into, they have their own culture and music, and is it are they still heavily influenced by America?
I think every I'm getting some feedback. I'm gonna just mute. Yeah, there we go. I think every culture in the world sort of has some American influence, just because of Hollywood and the music industry. Is a lot of it comes out of the U.S. and Europe. Definitely, they have their own culture here for sure. There's still things I learn all the time. I've been essentially here in Acapulco for about 6 years now, and still all the time discovering new things. Apparently, at Christmas, by the way, I finally figured this one out. Not only does Santa have to give my kids presents on Christmas, but a week later is something about the Three Kings, and the Three Kings also give them presents as well. So it's like two Christmases for kids here, which is kind of bad for the parents' checkbook. But there's just such a different culture here, and the music, of course, they have all their, you know, their own kind of music, which is huge down here, absolutely huge.
Accordions. It's all about accordions. Accordions, man.
Accordions, the trombone. I don't like that music very much. Bump, bump, bump. But my wife loves it. Like, she just all day is playing that kind of music.
Okay, now the culture kind of impact that you've had, you've been there long enough that, like you say, you move into a new home and they know who you are and about, you know, the tall gringo over there, you know, and I'm wondering what kind of infection have you had on the community? Do you interface with any of the local, the government offices, the local businesses, Anarcopoco? Did they want to get involved? Did the hotel go, yeah, we heard about it. Pick us. I mean, tell us what kind of influence you've had there.
Well, actually, for some weird reason, I'm quite well known. It seems like in Mexico, the things I do is really catching on. People are big fans of the Dollar Vigilante or Anarchast. And but twice I've went to ayahuasca or aboga retreats. When I went there, they knew who I was already. Here in Acapulco, I can't walk down the street without shaking most people's hands. And I think it was also added to when I was recently on, they have something called, you know, remember that show Jersey Shore with Snooki.
Yeah,
They have one here in Acapulco called Acapulco Shore, which is on Latin American MTV, and I was on it for one episode, and so after that I was even more well known. So you know, it's a small sort of town, Acapulco. The actual the people who live here, it's not a giant city. The city doubles or triples in size every weekend or every holiday for people coming in from out of town, but it's a fairly small sort of town, really, when you get to know it. So I know most the business owners, most of the actual politicians as well. It's very easy to get to know them. Most of the cartel people, they're all very similar, very same sort of people that all go in the same circles and go to the same restaurants and things like that.
You know, this is one thing. I know enough Spanish to, you know, find the bathroom, but the I took high school Spanish, so I can get by. You know, I'm caveman talk to the, you know, taxi drivers and the maids and the valets and so on. And leaving, I was talking to, you always find out a lot from the taxi drivers. Wherever you go in the world, it's always the taxi drivers. And I was asking, their opinion is the local law enforcement, they didn't like them none too much. They were like, yeah, we need the federales to come in here and get our corrupt local politicians in line. You know, is that kind of the main attitude there?
It's sort of funny. Most people in general don't like police. They actually fired the police last year, and they didn't have them around the local police for nearly a year, and everyone really liked that. And then the new governor got in and reinstated them, and most people don't like them. They actually do prefer the federales, which I don't like any cops, obviously, but the reason is because they're generally known as being less corrupt. I really have never had any problems with federales, I have to say. They're usually around. Some of those pickup trucks with the machine guns that you see, some of those are federales. And they really don't tend to bother your average person. They just mostly just drive around with their guns, and that's about all they do. Whereas the local cops, they tend to pull people over for all kinds of things and shake them down for money if they can. But yeah, in general here, it's nowhere near like in the U.S. If you get some sort of problem with a cop here, usually $5 or $10 makes it go away, and it could be something fairly serious too. And I even knew one person once who had a cop try to shake him down, you know, which happens all over the world, including the U.S. It happens every second of every day in the U.S. They just call it tickets and fines, but. He said to the cop, he said, I was just headed over to that bar over there. Do you want, I'll buy you a beer if you want. And the cop said, sure. So they went and they just went to the bar and drank. And so that's how he got out of his ticket. So it's quite a bit different sort of laid back culture here.
Well, what kind of reputation did the last Anarcopoco get, you know, after it all settled down, everybody's gone and kind of, you know, what kind of response did you get from the locals? They, you know, a lot of the businesses, hey, we'll give you a coupon if they come visit Arden, kind of, and pick us. You know what? I mean, give me some kind of, what kind of residual impact did the event have?
Yeah, well, first of all, the hotel said we were the best conference they've ever had because we're anarcho-capitalists, so they're actually, their internet wasn't working well, and some of the people from the conference fixed their internet for them. And of course, being anarcho-capitalists, we tip nicely, and then all those, we pay for our bills. We're not anarcho-communists, so we don't break things and then not pay our bills and stuff. And then, yeah, many of the local businesses all know about us. There's one company, actually, Verde Vegan, that's going to be sponsoring the conference. They're local. They're a vegan restaurant and shop, and they're going to be actually offering a vegan meal package throughout the entire conference for people who are interested in vegan food. So yeah, there's definitely fairly well known and quite well liked in the community here.
Very cool, very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to going. I think, you know, Donna got a beat on what it's like, and, you know, have fun. And she goes to a lot of these. She's just thought, you know, I'm just going to be on vacation with my husband and got. They're talking politics, damn it, you know. But it, you know, it goes late into the night, and a lot of people, it's just, it was really fun, and we had a good time. You know, but there was, what there wasn't? There wasn't a group photo. Because I'm going, yeah, the anarchists, like, yeah, group? We don't have group anything. So we had a good time. You know, a lot of them, we went and saw the cliff diving. I thought that was really cool. It was so windy. That I would have been happy if they didn't jump. I was like, you know, they finally decided to go, and I'm going, God, did they live? Damn. So that was kind of cool. What's some of the other events, extracurricular you got planned?
Well, we're going to have a gala banquet again. This one's going to be much more organized again. Everything's going to be more organized this year. We're also going to have, we haven't announced any artists yet. We just announced one rapper, L. Dixon, but we're going to have some musical acts as well on one of the evenings. So there's going to be lots going on. Of course, we'll have the pre-conference sort of drinks again at Paradise on the Beach Club. So yeah, there's going to be lots of stuff going on. The Cliff Divers, by the way, those are great. The guys that have done it for like 10 or 20 years, they're actually about 6 inches shorter than when they started. They do 5 shows a night, and they have to time it to hit those waves. If they don't time it right, they'll hit the bottom. It's only about 15 feet deep where they jump into, which is crazy.
No, are you freaking kidding me? I'm just like, you know, he's going to jump? Seriously? I'll give you $10 not to jump. You know what I mean? It was that bad. It was. I was like, damn. You know, damn. And then you go out, and some of these guys were kids. They were 15 or something. You know, I'm just going, okay, you first. So there's going to be a lot of events. We're kind of on our own, you know, to do whatever the heck we wanted to. And Jeff always had, we were hopping party to party, made sure we were entertained. Oh, how, the Copacabana was kind of in the center of the bay. Going to the left or the right, how far is this hotel from where we were?
It's actually not too far at all. It's about 5 blocks away, closer to, well, I guess when he left the hotel, if you turn right from the Copacabana, it's about 5 blocks down further. It's at the corner down by the Walmart. There is where the Grand Hotel is.
Okay, there's a Walmart. I didn't know it. Didn't care. So there's a, you know, it's self-entertainment. Go ahead, tell the people, how much is it to go to the event?
It's $195 registration. We also have a number of other sort of workshops. We're going to have the Entrepreneurship Boot Camp. We have Luke Radowski's Change Media University Boot Camp. We're going to have the Dollar Vigilante Investment and Internationalization Summit. We're going to have a Rational Physics Conference after the event. We're going to have an Unschooling and Peaceful Parenting Workshop. We're having a Direct Dating Summit, which is sort of how to pick up girls summit by Sasha Daygame, who's very well known on the internet. So there's literally a week. It's starts February 17th and ends on February 23rd if you stay for them all. So there's a lot of things going on. We're also going to be doing an ayahuasca ceremony on Sunday evening after the conference. Definitely, if you want to say you want to do a lot of things, you have the option to do so here.
Yeah, I know Adam and Macy are going, and Macy's going to be doing psychedelics improve your life kind of thing. So I'm going, all right, there's something for everybody at anarchopoco.com.